name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Jesus
is
risen.
Christ is risen. In the Gospel today, on this fourth Sunday of Pascha, St. John tells us of the man who lay paralyzed at the sheepfold in Jerusalem for 38 years, waiting desperately for someone to put him in the pool. Every once in a while, an angel would come down and stir the water, and whoever stepped in first would be healed. Unable to move, the paralytic laid there helpless for almost four decades. It is here where Christ enters, but he does not come like the angel descending from the clouds, not performing for crowds. He walks unnoticed among the porches of pain. He sees the man. Not just his condition, but his history. He had been ill for a long time, St. John tells us. Christ approaches the man, and this is the gaze of not just the great physician. It's the seeing of a God who has watched every hour of this man's silence. Christ then asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" At first, the question sounds absurd, offensive even. Who would ask such a thing of a man who has been sick for nearly four decades? The paralytic answers, "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. I have no one," he tells Christ. Not that his legs cannot move, but the absence of relationship, the absence of communion. I have no one. But Christ does not even heal through the pool. No water is stirred, no angel descends, just a voice. "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." In this act, Christ reminds a paralytic and reminds us today that his love is never transactional. Christ does not wait for the waters. He does not wait for worthiness. He does not even wait for faith. He creates it. Immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and walked. But as St. John tells us today, it was the Sabbath, and suddenly this great miracle becomes a scandal. And there is just something so beautiful in this image, a man walking through Jerusalem, carrying the object that once carried him. The very thing that symbolized his helplessness is now a sign of healing. But it is not received with joy. The Jewish authorities are offended. Not by the healing, but by the violation of their supposed sacred timing. "It is the Sabbath," they say. "It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Christ withdraws from the multitude as the former paralytic is questioned by the Jews. But the healed man does not even know who Jesus is. He is healed even before he is converted. All he knows is that he can walk. The miracle is invisible, but the rule breaker, or what they think is a rule break, is absolutely intolerable. Later, Christ finds the man again, this time in the temple. Now the place of worship becomes a place of even deeper healing. Christ does not leave the man to wander. He calls him to walk, and he calls us deeper into the mystery, into the sanctuary, not just to walk, but to worship, for his body, our bodies, now become the center of a transfigured life. It is in the temple, in the house of worship, where Christ is revealed to the paralytic. And as St. John tells us, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And the persecution begins. The grace that raises one man ends up condemning the giver. And so it always is. The God who heals is the God who is hunted. The hand that lifts the paralyzed man is the hand that will be nailed to the cross. It's a scandal to the Jews, foolishness to the world. The incarnation is not safe, for it never was. "Do you want to be made well?" Christ asks us today. Christ asks today. He asks the paralytic this question, but he also asks us this question today. Not because Christ is asking for any information about us, for he knows us better than we know ourselves. He's offering an invitation, a revelation of his love. Christ is essentially asking a very difficult question. Are you ready to stop running and hiding from him in every idol, every passion, every distraction, not just today, but every day. Do you want to be healed from your fruitless comforts or the comforts of your misery? Are you more concerned with external rules at the expense of mercy? Are you ready to forgive everyone who wrongs you, insults you, hurts you, breaks you? Can you forgive the impossible? Can you see Christ in every single person, especially your enemy? Do you really want to be healed? For those who wish to be healed from the paralysis of sin in our egos, from the maddening monotony of consumer culture, from the terrifying loneliness that is such a tragic feature of the modern world, Christ does not give us rules to follow, but he gives us himself, his life, his body, the church. Everything in the church is medicine for our souls, not only in the sacraments and the divine services and prayers, but in the great saints and ascetics whose lives and wisdom are examples for us, holy men and women from every generation. Like Mother Silomana, the Romanian schema nun, she reposed just a few years ago in 2021 and will undoubtedly be officially glorified as a saint one day. And she was born during World War II and, like the paralytic today, was frozen in her atheism and nihilism growing up. This left her in a deep state of pain and suffering, but also of searching. And in that searching, by discovering Christ, she realized that he had been with her all along. He had accompanied her in her sorrows, he had waited for her, he had forgiven her, and above all, he had loved her only as God can love. Near the end of her earthly life, she would often talk about this experience of coming to know Christ initially, and then coming to know Christ every day. She speaks of Christ's love and healing in almost the exact same way as other contemporary saints who lived like she did through world wars and political terror, like St. Sophroni and St. Justin of Serbia. She tells us, "Glory to God that he doesn't truly abandon us and he turns everything that happens to us into pedagogical means for bringing us back on the way that is he, the way of descent. He calls us and he teaches us to descend into ourselves, into the hell within us which prevents us from becoming saints. He waits for us there, and great will be our joy when we will be taken out from the darkness, memorized in the depths of our nature." She continues, as she's talking about herself, but could be talking about the paralytic or us today. There, in our depths, in the depths of ourselves, are dragons, snakes, memories, the remembering of evil, our fears, our wounds, all that we received and against which we learn without God, with fear, with envy, with hate, with lies, with everything we could just to survive. But, she reminds us, God never just asks us, "Why did you lie? Why did you kill? Why did you commit that sin?" He never asks these questions because he already knows why, just as Christ knows everything about the paralytic today. His question is, she continues, "Why don't you come to me so I can heal you? So I can give you rest, so I can comfort you. Come to me so I give you rest and comfort, so I can take you in my arms." This is the God whom we encounter today in the gospel, the God who is continually revealing himself to us in the life of the church and his saints. For he is the God who became man in order to voluntarily suffer, die, and storm the gates of Hades in order to give the world a new and holy Pascha, a mystical Pascha, a Pascha which is open for us the gates of paradise, because he refuses to let us be paralyzed by sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.